Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, everyone. It is now 7 o'clock, and today is Monday, June the 14th, 2021. And welcome to the City of Fairburn's Council meeting via Zoom. Madam Clerk, will you call the roll, please?
Yes, ma'am. The Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Alex Heath.
Present.
The Honorable Linda J. Davis.
Present.
The Honorable Pat Palland.
Present.
The Honorable Hattie Portis Jones.
Present.
The Honorable Ulysses J. Smallwood.
Present.
And the Honorable James Whitmore.
Present.
And I'm sorry, but the Honorable Mayor Elizabeth Carhurst should have been first. I do apologize.
That's okay. anywhere you put me is fine. Okay. And I'm present.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, Madam Clerk. The next item on the agenda is our invocation by Bishop Aaron B. Lackey of the Temple of Prayer Family Worship Cathedral. Bishop Lackey.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And I would like to thank you, as well as Councilman Whitmore and Ms. Sylvia Abernathy, for your presence on this past Saturday and the hospitality you all showed to the United Churches of God in Christ on behalf of the City of Fairburn. We certainly appreciate you all taking the time out of your schedules to come. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we do thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you for allowing us to be able to come together once again to conduct the people's business. Tonight, my prayer is very simple. Allow everything that is said and done to be something that is going to uplift you, benefit and strengthen our city, and most importantly, benefit the citizens of this great city. Be with our mayor, be with every member of council, be with their staffs and the entire cabinet. We ask these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you so much, Bishop Lackey. The first item on the agenda tonight is the adoption of the City Council minutes. Those minutes are May 24th, 2021. Council members, you've received your minutes. And Councilwoman Davis, I think you just got the minutes a few minutes ago.
Oh, I did, because I was looking for them and I texted Ms. Dina. Where did she send them? My cell phone or...
They're in your email. They're in your email.
My personal email or the city email? That's what I'm asking.
City email.
Okay. Thank you.
And I apologize that you did not get them with the other documents that was sent on Thursday.
Oh, that's quite all right. So I haven't read them, so I really can't vote on it because, you know, I don't want you all to wait for me to read it. So I'm... Did everybody else get it? Did all the other council members get the minutes?
Did everyone else receive your minutes?
I did, Mayor.
Yes, Mayor.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm not sure what happened to you, Councilwoman Dale.
Yeah, it wasn't in my packet, and I just realized it about 20 minutes ago when I sent an email to Dina. So
Okay.
That's okay.
Okay, council members, you received a copy of the minutes of the May 24th, 2021 minutes. Do you have any corrections or additions to those minutes?
Yes, Mayor. Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Yes. This meeting, I was absent, but I do want to acknowledge and make correction to your acknowledgement of the passing of my husband, Robert H. Jones. Thank you so much for that acknowledgement. And the correction is that his services were held on May 24th, the same day as the council meeting, 2021.
You're correct. And we will make that correction. Any other corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, is there a motion on the floor to approve the minutes with the correction made by Councilwoman Hattie Portis Jones?
Mayor Pro Tem Heath, so moved.
Second. Motion made by Mayor Pro Tem Heath. Is there a second?
Second, Councilman Smallwood.
Seconded by Councilman Smallwood. All those in favor?
Aye.
Mayor, let it be known that I will have to abstain since I didn't get the minutes.
Okay. That motion passes with one abstention, and that's Councilwoman Linda J. Davis.
Thank you.
Okay. The next item on the agenda tonight is the adoption of the City Council agenda. And our first item on the agenda is the presentation by Councilman Whitmore, Juneteenth proclamation, a discussion by Mayor and Council on the T-Splash IGA with the cities. Madam Clerk, would you read the regular agenda items for tonight, please?
Yes, ma'am. The first one's going to be from the Street Department, Ms. Gail Higgs, for the Mayor and Council to approve the Samsara Fleet Maintenance GPS software and camera system for city vehicles. Number two is going to be from Community Development, Mr. Lester Thompson, asking Mayor and Council to approve the proposed T-Splash 2 project list. The third item is going to be from Community Development, Mr. Lester Thompson, asking Mayor and Council to approve the task number 7 with Atlas Technical Consultants to conduct a pavement evaluation. Item number 4 is from Community Development, again from Mr. Lester Thompson, asking Mayor and Council to approve the task order number 16 with Condon Company for professional engineering and landscape architectural services. And number 5, again, Mr. Lester Thompson with Community Development, asking Mayor and Council to approve an intergovernmental agreement with the City of South Fulton for the Oakley Industrial Boulevard Full Depth Reclamation Project. And number 6 is coming from the Finance Department, Mr. Roderick Taylor, asking Mayor and Council to approve the staff recommended projects for the American Rescue Act funding. And number 7, again, from the Finance Department, Mr. Roderick Taylor, asking Mayor and Council to approve the 6-month update for the fiscal year 2021 budget.
Okay. Council members, you've heard the agenda items for tonight. Is there a motion on the floor to approve the agenda as so read?
So moved, Councilman Whitmore.
Motion made by Councilman Whitmore. Is there a second?
Mayor Pro Tem Heath, second.
Seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Heath. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries 6-0. The agenda for tonight has been approved. The first item tonight is a presentation. Well, it actually is a proclamation by Councilmember James Whitmore of the Juneteenth celebration.
Thank you, Mayor. And also, Mayor, thank you for this opportunity. So this proclamation is to recognize Juneteenth in the city of Fairburn, Georgia. And it reads as, whereas Juneteenth or Juneteenth Independence Day commemorates the traditional observation of the end of slavery in the United States and is observed annually on June 19th. And whereas on January 1st, 1863, President Lincoln issued an Emancipation Proclamation declaring that all persons held as slaves within any state or designated part of a state, the people whereof shall then be in rebellion against the United States, shall be then, thenceforward, and forever free. President Lincoln correctly believed slavery to be in violation of the principles of the Declaration of Independence, and that is, abolition represented a new birth of freedom for the United States. And whereas on June 19, 1865, Union Major General Gordon Granger and his regiment arrived in Galveston and spread the word that slavery had been abolished. And whereas in 1866, the first official Juneteenth celebration took place in Texas and have continued across the United States throughout the years. Juneteenth is the oldest nationally celebrated commemoration of the ending of slavery. And whereas Juneteenth is an important opportunity to honor the principles of the Declaration of Independence and celebrate the achievements and contributions African Americans have made and continue to make in Fairburn and across our nation. Therefore, I, Councilman James Whitmore of the City of Fairburn, along with Mayor Elizabeth Carr Hirsch, Mayor Pro Tem Alex Heath, and Council Members Linda J. Davis, Pat Palin, Hattie Portis Jones, and Ulysses Smallwood, would like to recognize June 19th as Juneteenth in the City of Fairburn on this 14th day of June, 2021, signed by myself.
Thank you so much, Councilman Whitmore. And we will go back and correct that proclamation to reflect your signature. Council members, there's a flyer just appeared for the Juneteenth cultural celebration that's going to be this Friday evening at the Frankie Arnold stage. It will begin at 7:30. Please come out. There will be an announcement at the beginning of the program for council to make any kind of comments you would like to make. So please come out on Friday evening. This is the first of our summer series, and we would love to see you. Does council members have any comments or suggestions or anything concerning Juneteenth? Hearing none, we'll go to the public comment section of the agenda. Madam Clerk, do we have anyone wishing to speak tonight in public comments?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Okay. I skipped over something, and what I did skip over was our discussion. So we'll go back to the discussion for Mayor and Council to discuss the T-Splash IGA with the cities. In your packet tonight, there is an agreement. It's an IGA agreement with Fulton County for T-Splash. All of the mayors, 14 of the mayors, will be meeting with Fulton County on June the 30th at 10 o'clock to discuss T-Splash and our possible projects for inclusion. They're looking to put the referendum on the November 2nd ballot. We also have on the agenda tonight, I believe it's tier one, tier two, and tier three for the T-Splash that's going to be coming up in 2022. This T-Splash ends, I think it's March or April of 2022, and then the new one takes effect. So let's wait just a few minutes and we can go over some of the issues that's in this particular IGA. All 14 cities are expected to sign off on this IGA. I actually put it in the packet tonight just so that you all could have a look at it and see exactly what it entails. I will bring it back on the 28th for approval by the council. If you will look in the IGA, you will see that at the very beginning, the IGA consists of the 14 cities, including the city of Fairburn, and it has a 0.75% T-Splash tax. It begins April the 1st of 2022, and it concludes on March 31st of 2027. If this tax is approved, this referendum goes forth, the city of Fairburn expects to receive roughly about $15,822,000 from this particular T-Splash. We have listed some items, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, what we want to include in this T-Splash. The city's agreed to go with item number 3A, and it's a 0.75 T-Splash, and it's a little over $500 million to distribute it to cities, and that distribution is going to be done by population. Now, they're showing Fairbanks as about 16,678, I believe. That number comes from GMA. It's not the official census count. And so that count is not the new census numbers, but that's the numbers that Fulton County will be using for this T-Squash. We have to have a resolution to the Board of Commissioners by August the 2nd. And that resolution will be forwarded to the election superintendent. And from there, it will go on the ballot for the November 2nd election. With that being said, Randy has reviewed this IGA. He didn't see any issues with anything that's in it. We are expecting all 14 cities to sign off on it. And as I mentioned before, we will be meeting with the Board of Commissioners on June the 30th at 10 o'clock to go over our projects for inclusion in the referendum and the rate of the T-Squash. Council members, do you have any questions? And as I said, this will come back before you on the 28th for approval, along with the project list.
Mayor, Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd request if you would ask that the population be adjusted when those official numbers are available to us. And that would just entail, the new population number and adjusting percentages likewise.
Well, we did.
Did you see any difficulty with that?
We did, Ms. Porter Jones. We actually, there were several of our cities that actually brought this before Chairman Pitts. We asked that that we have current numbers, and they came back with the answer that they can only give us what has been confirmed thus far, but since the census has not given us their new numbers, they cannot give us any new numbers. So that's where we are right now. I'll be more than happy to bring it up on June 30th when we meet at 10 o'clock. And this meeting is actually, I believe you can tune in on this meeting on the 30th. I'll be more than happy to send you the link if you're interested in tuning in. But that question did come up.
Yes, I would appreciate the link. I believe it's to everyone's benefit and the interest of all if they could adjust the numbers when those numbers are available. In trying to sell passage to our residents, that is only reasonable and fair that they adjust those numbers. So I do ask that you do bring it up and you express that concern and that it will cause some challenges in selling it to our residents.
I'll be more than happy to do it on June 30th.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Okay, so we can skip all the public comments because I just asked the question and there are no one on the line tonight for public comments. So we'll go to the first item on the agenda. Madam Clerk, would you read it, please?
The first item is from the Street Department, Ms. Gail Higgs, for Mayor and Council to approve the Samsara Fleet Maintenance GPS software and camera system for city vehicles.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
I come before you this evening to speak about the Samsara Fleet Maintenance GPS software and camera system for the city vehicles. I am requesting approval on this software. It has a budget impact for 3 years of $98,967, which will be taken from all departments who will be benefiting from this software. The line item it will be taken from is contract services over the 2021 through 2024 budget year. The purpose of this software is to increase accountability of drivers of city vehicles. The objective is to provide real-time visibility, accident prevention, and ability to increase productivity in the city vehicles, as well as reduce operating costs. One of the benefits for my department is the maintenance alerts that will be providing reports that go directly to the garage for vehicle maintenance. After carefully reviewing the needs of the city and staff, I concluded that Samsora is the best suited for the city vehicles. Also joining us this evening is Alden Ortego and Andrew Phelps from Samsora to speak a little more in depth about this product.
Thank you, Gail. Appreciate it. So let me share my screen here and we can kind of get things kicked off. I'm getting a message saying that the host disabled participant screen sharing. So is there any way I can get that turned on? There we go. Great. Can you see this?
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you. So I just wanted to first thank the council for affording us your time and attention tonight. As Gail mentioned, my name is Alden. I'm the lead account executive for the city of Fairburn here at Samsara. And I'm joined tonight by my manager, Andrew Phelps. We're very excited to present to you. This has actually been a project about 8 to 9 months in the making. And we've been working very closely with Michael Yancey, Gail Higgs, and Mayor Hurst over the course of that time, listening to their feedback and really just putting together a solution that we think will best meet the needs of the city of Fairburn and help the city across the board when it comes to fleet management. We'll start just by running through a few slides for the presentation and walk you through our solution, and then we can open it up to any comments or Q&A at the end of the presentation. So to start out with, I just wanted to kind of give you an idea of who Samsara is, some company background. Andrew and myself are actually located in our Atlanta office, and that's our East Coast hub of our company. Our mission is to improve the safety, efficiency, and sustainability of the operations that power our communities. And we're doing that through a culture of innovation, which means advancing real-time data, artificial intelligence, and open APIs, which allows us to integrate with any other existing platforms that you might be using for fleet management. And we're looking to build for the long term. And we're doing that through a combination of our world-class teams. We're developing new product features constantly and supporting our customers. Just to kind of give you more information about Samsara, we're a very fast-growing company. We're over 20,000 customers represented across government, education, construction, energy, transportation, and logistics. As far as product expansion is concerned, we're constantly innovating cameras and AI, managing different workflows, integrations, and more. And we're investing in our customers with onboarding, technical support, and weekly feature updates. And we also serve the local community at large. Some of our customers that you may recognize would be the city of Atlanta, Athens Clark County, the city of Conyers, city of Sandy Springs, and many more. And on the right-hand side are just some of the logos of our various customers. As far as our partnership is concerned, I just wanted to take a few slides here and really just outline the information that we've gathered over the course of the last 8 to 9 months through several meetings and conversations and kind of show you what we've come up with. So for this part here, the plan for the city of Fairburn, I'm actually going to give the floor to my manager, Andrew, to kind of better describe the overarching plan for the city.
So at Samsara, honestly, we believe that the quality of life within a community is directly impacted by the local government, the city government that delivers the essential services that that community relies upon. So because of that, we are focused solely on improving the accountability, the efficiency, and the safety of that local government, as well as the fleet that they use to deliver those services. And so we take a bottom-up approach, first focusing on vehicle safety, making sure that all vehicles are being properly maintained in a timely manner, while at the same time also reducing as much downtime as possible. I mean, the best drivers aren't able to outdrive a poorly maintained vehicle or a vehicle that's past due. And also know that at the end of the day, human fallibility is certainly baked into the system. So we need to make sure that we're able to build a safety platform and a vehicle maintenance platform that allows for proactive measures to notify drivers, driver managers, as well as maintenance of upcoming maintenance and current faults. From there, I want to take a very concerted effort in terms of improving driver safety. This is not a big brother approach where we're watching and waiting for something bad to happen to get you. This is really more of a guardian angel type approach. Again, knowing full well that crashes do happen and some are at fault, some are not at fault. But at the end of the day, we want to make sure that we are helping you get into the cab and preventing that next crash from happening, while at the same time identifying driver behaviors that may not otherwise allow sustaining safe habits and safety within the community. So we want to make sure that you're providing the right information to the right people to allow for proper coaching of your drivers so that they are educated on what the right methods are for driving and they're able to take action on that and improve moving forward for their own benefit as well as the benefit of the community at large. Once we really address that safety component, we really start to move into the area of being able to improve fleet awareness, allowing you to gain access to a very deep library of data so you can start making data-driven decisions for the benefit of the community, whether it's utilization of vehicles or identifying where there is waste within the fleet that you can eliminate and make sure that you're able to run a very fiscally responsible fleet. After that, we want to really make sure that we're doubling down on community safety and the citizen experience. So being able to, again, deliver those services in a safe, reliable manner and respond to community and resident inquiries with the right data in hand to be able to provide the best experience possible for your citizens. When you're listening to past council meetings, we understand that there are a lot of challenges, whether it's the fast growth of the city, the changing nature of the city at large and being able to plan for the next 5, 10, 20 years with your comprehensive plans, or whether it's more tactical in terms of having increases in auto liability and trying to find ways to reduce loss ratios with your insurance provider. What we're able to do is provide you the right information in hand to take action on all of those items on a regular basis in a platform that updates 100, 200 times a year so that you have an appreciating asset and you're not stuck in 2021, 3 years from now.
Perfect. Thanks, Andrew. And based upon several discussions that we've had across the meetings, we're able to identify a few areas of key concerns and areas of improvement that we believe that we can help the city of Fairburn out with. One of those, namely, would be unchecked maintenance, use of vehicles and equipment, and frequent vehicle downtime due to backlog. We've listened to different experiences around that specifically. One time you guys had an engine blown because of unchecked maintenance. That ran up the city $8,000 for that incident alone. We've also heard stories of drivers driving months at a time with the check engine light on and vehicles being brought to the garage without notice. Samsara's solution to that issue would be a comprehensive maintenance system that enables real-time vehicle diagnostics, alerts, and time optimization. A second area of improvement that we identified would be safety blind spots. Basically, lack of visibility, lack of the ability to monitor erratic driver behavior, which could lead to costly repairs, increased insurance premiums, and high settlement costs. We've heard stories as well of drivers texting and driving, questionable use of the vehicles, and also incidents and crashes. So Samsara's approach to that, we can help to prevent crashes and save lives by providing the tools, reports, and insights needed to understand safety trends and enact change. And then finally, the third area that we identified as a room for improvement and essentially cost savings would be excessive fuel consumption. We've heard stories of employees using gas on city time. So Samsara can actually run a full fuel reporting visibility report. And that will identify trends of inefficiency and abnormal activity and can send that directly to any of the admin's inbox. As far as getting more information around the solution itself and what that's comprised of, Some features that we wanted to outline: real-time GPS. This could be up to the second ping rate on that. This helps to improve fleet productivity. It can reduce labor and fuel costs and help streamline maintenance. We also have a full-blown maintenance module as well, where we can streamline maintenance with over-the-air vehicle diagnostics, utilization reports, and real-time fault code alerts. And we can also have the drivers run through a daily inspection report, digitalize that, less paperwork, easier to track. We try to and strive to promote safety and reduce incident frequency. So this can actually be done through a combination of our vehicle gateways and dash cameras. And this helps to limit liability and prioritize safety. And we can also respond to citizen complaints or inquiries through a proximity search. And this is important because it helps you to respond to the complaints right away. It gives you insights into a particular incident if there is one. You can easily retrieve video based on the location, and you will be able to identify vehicles and drivers passing through a location in a fraction of the time it would normally take to identify or get more context around that situation. Just some bullet points on ways that we've helped impact other customers. Couple here on Athens Clark County. After they adopted our platform, they were actually able to reduce their rate of harsh incidents by 50%. They also were able to increase their fuel efficiency by 10%. It resulted in a 40% reduction in technology costs and a 20% reduction in paper usage. For the city of Fort Lauderdale, we were able to reduce percentage time of idling by over 20%, which drove up a lot of savings in terms of fuel consumption. And we are also able to decrease vehicle downtime by 28%, making sure that the vehicles are on the road as often and readily available as possible. And then finally, this last section here, we just wanted to outline the proposal that we're pulling together for the city of Fairburn and what that actually includes. So these would be the two main components from a hardware perspective. The first would be the VG34, which is just short for vehicle gateway. So this would actually enable, everything we've talked about as far as GPS tracking, safety features and components, getting the real-time diagnostics and communicating real-time alerts, whether that has to do with maintenance or safety. And the second would be the camera, the dual-facing dash camera. So that would be our CM32. It has built-in artificial intelligence capabilities. It helps you to easily track and identify harsh events. And then really the main use case out of it all, it would be driver exoneration, kind of getting and avoiding, he said, she said situations. And then lastly here, this is just our commitment to you, some highlights of that. We offer best in class customer support. So that's 24/7, 365 days. It's entirely US based. Free updates for life. Like I mentioned earlier, we roll out weekly updates. We're constantly improving the console itself. And easy installation. It usually takes about 5 to 10 minutes to get this installed on each vehicle, which certainly helps with getting up to speed and running when you're ready to hit the green light on this. We're also number one reliability in the industry, meaning that we have a 99.99% service uptime guarantee. We'll have several dedicated teams handling your account, and we dedicate customer support. We have a dedicated onboarding specialist and customer success teams. And then finally, we're built to last. So all Samsara products come with a full warranty and express RMA. And that concludes our presentation there. I just wanted to open it up to see if anyone had any comments or questions for us.
Council members, the floor is open for any comments.
Mayor, excuse me for a moment. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Mr. Ortega, can you please stop sharing your screen at this time?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, council members, the floor is now open for any comments.
Yes, Mayor, Councilwoman Portis-Jones.
Councilwoman Portis-Jones.
Yes, Mr. Ortega, I'm sorry, I may have missed your discussion of this. When you shared the examples of the impact of your software with other cities, did I hear you say anything about accident reduction or impact on insurance rates? or impact on life of the fleet as a result of, you know, the maintenance reminder. Could you speak to those issues?
Yes, as far as accident reduction, one of the slides that we presented with Athens Clark County, they resulted in a 50% decrease in harsh events. So that's related to anything accident wise. And, you know, we generally see a large number like that for most of our accounts in terms of production. Insurance, go ahead, Andrew.
I would say, as far as insurance is concerned, we see happen most frequently is that it's, as you well know, it's directly tied to loss ratios within the city. So being able to not only prevent at-fault occurrences, but also being able to settle at-fault occurrences faster and less expensively. So in terms of, again, outright, you're set up with Samsara and you get an immediate premium. Well, we do have some partnerships that do exist that allow for that. Typically, that's not the case. Typically, what happens is that over time, usually over the period of a year or 2 years, you start to see a decrease in the loss ratio that then leads to an overall, you know, your five-year average drops, and then you can start seeing the premiums drop. So it is an investment, certainly, but one that certainly pays off, obviously, by having, you know, far fewer harsh events and then being able to take that proactively to your insurance provider. And better negotiate with them in terms of driving down that cost or preventing any further increases. In terms of the lifespan of the fleet, we typically see cities fall into one or two buckets, one where they milk the cost of their fleet till it just won't run anymore, or one where they're putting in a fleet replacement plan that turns vehicles over too fast, causing excessive capital costs far too frequently. What we've seen happen with the use of the Samsara system is that you're able to start paying attention, and usually the first couple of years are spent deciding, okay, where are our costs of maintenance being, you know, far too heavy? We can then use that data to put that vehicle out to pasture, put it at the end of life, and then start building a fleet replacement plan around that data to figure out, okay, well, how long do we have before we start planning for these capital expenses? So that way, we're able to put them out to auction, recoup some costs at the very end of it, and make sure that we don't have a fleet that's too old, but at the same time, we're not spending our precious, you know, expenses far too often to avoid that from happening.
All right, thank you for that. Would you consider this a fleet management software? Is that an adequate description of this? Using GPS as a name is a bit confusing to me regarding, you know, what you describing the software does. So is it is fleet management a relatable or an adequate description as well?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Because it does, as you mentioned, span far more than just basic GPS and the whereabouts of vehicles. It does encompass a full-blown safety and driver platform, as well as a maintenance platform, and then the ability to respond to citizen inquiries and integrate into other solutions where needed. So absolutely.
All right, and then one last question regarding training of personnel. Is that included in this contract? In terms of how to correctly review and interpret the data?
Yes, absolutely. And a great question. So as Alden mentioned, there'll be an implementation consultant and a customer success manager that are assigned to the city to make sure that installation and setup of the system occur as they should. Beyond that, obviously there's a limited number of users and admins, so you can design the system to give access to whoever and the which ways you want them to have access. So our customer success managers will support training, as well as Alden and myself be still very much involved. We're right down the road, so we can even come on site if need be for trainings. Aside from that, we also have a robust self-learning capability with an online training center and weekly webinars train on various aspects of the system, as well as train on new parts of the system on a monthly basis.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor, I have a question.
Mayor Pro Tem Heath?
Yes, ma'am. Sir, I'd like to ask you, is this hardwired into the vehicle itself, or is it like a plug-in thing like sometimes you see in a cigarette lighter where the employee could unplug it or do something to mess with it to where it wouldn't work?
Yeah, so I can answer that question. It plugs into the diagnostics port of the vehicle, the OBD2 port. However, we do have tampering alerts. So if it ever does become unplugged, you would know instantly within seconds that that's the case. And you could, you know, deal with the issue at that point in time as needed.
Right. And one last question. We rotate our fleet, you know, periodically. Like every year, we rotate vehicles that are worn out of our fleet and put new ones in. Can you use the same equipment on other equipment that we purchase, or do we need to purchase new data recorders and everything that you have?
You can definitely repurpose the units as needed. We have a deactivation process and a reactivation process, so it'll actually keep the data separate. That way you're not mixing data of vehicles either. So yeah, you can use it as needed on whatever vehicles that you fly.
All right, great. Thank you, sir.
One question, ma'am.
Councilman Whitmore?
Yes, ma'am. Sir, I would like for you to kind of highlight a little more about your free updates. I certainly understand that moving forward in vehicle technology, there's overwhelming updates that are coming over the internet for vehicles for efficiency, and that data can be used to help study how that vehicle is operating as well. So with your updates, that's going to be a update for your gateways, but also do you study in particularly the city of Fairburn's activities and update those components?
Yes. Yeah, so I'll touch on the vehicle gateway aspect. So we're constantly updating the platform itself, the software side of things. That's the weekly updates that you would be seeing. At the conclusion of the contract and agreement, if we've updated the hardware as well, you would also be eligible for a free upgrade of that, you know, in addition to the weekly updates that are occurring through the software. And Andrew, can you go into City Insights a little bit in terms of the collection of data on the city of Fairburn?
Yeah, so we actually do a lot of really cool things in regards to looking at citywide data. Two in particular. One is benchmarking. So what we do is we would, you know, you start with SAMHSA, we'd categorize you as a local government. And we can anonymously benchmark you and show you how your vehicles are performing against other government vehicles from other cities to determine, okay, how are we doing in terms of parks events or speeding or idling or whatever that looks like. So that benchmarking is one aspect of the insights you can gain from that data and being part of the SAMHSA ecosystem. Another very interesting way we can use that data, and this would be more of a longer term project that we could do with your transportation planners or city planners in general, is that once we have our gateways driving through the city, what we can do is we can take a look at where do we see harsh events occurring at a high rate on the city streets and allow you to drill down into those areas and determine, is it signage in this area? Is it just a general, you know, location? Is it road quality? Is there something that we can do from a design standpoint or a planning standpoint to improve that aspect and prevent some of those harsh events or speeding and whatnot? So we currently do that with the city of Atlanta. So we can overlay all of the SAMHSA gateway, not just the city of Atlanta vehicles, but any vehicle that drives through and around the city of Atlanta with our units in it. We can then start to aggregate that data and give the city access to that data and figure out, okay, what can you do from a planning standpoint, or where do you want insight or visibility from a planning standpoint to determine where are there potentially unsafe pockets within the city that could use some extra attention?
And my follow-up question would be storage. I know I read it in there, but for the record, can you talk about the storage aspect of the data that you're collecting?
Yeah, so all the data that we collect once you start with, as a customer of Samsara is stored indefinitely, unless you want to have parameters around, you know, forgetting data. So our default is to remember it all. So whether it's a year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now, from the day you start as a Samsara customer, we will keep that information for you to access. And until you tell us, okay, after this amount of time, we want you to get rid of it. For the cameras themselves, we do have a rolling period of 60 hours. It can be increased to 100 hours of drive time for recording. Any harsh events that are recorded or videos that you retrieve specifically, those will be stored indefinitely. If it doesn't trigger a harsh event or isn't specifically requested, 100 hours of drive time would have to pass before that video then is just overwritten. But that being said, you know, if you do pull it around, you can keep it indefinitely. So that's, I guess, the asterisk to the data storage component.
Okay, so thank you.
Any other questions from council?
Yes, Mayor. Councilwoman Davis?
Yes, Councilwoman.
Yes. Thank you. Mr. Phelps, I would like to know, is this cost, is that a hard cost, the $98,967, or will there be additional costs incurred in addition to this in reference to, I mean, I don't know, licenses or whatever, but is this a solid cost?
Yes, that is
the one cost we have in front of us.
That is the cost for a 36-month agreement. Yes, there is no additional costs outside of that dollar amount stated in the agreement.
Okay. Who are some of your competitors that do the exact thing, same thing that you do?
Yeah, great question. So a couple of competitors that we typically come up against would be, you know, Verizon is certainly one. Synovia is another. Geotab is certainly another that we see often. What I do like to point out is that when it comes to the overall platform, we don't have anyone that we've been able to find that does exactly pound for pound the exact same thing. So we manufacture our own cameras, we manufacture our own gateways and all of our own devices. We're not white labeling and selling anyone else's. It's a full-blown integrated platform beyond the vehicle fleet, which we haven't really discussed here. We also have, you know, whether it's security cameras that integrate into your current security system or even the ability to monitor water infrastructure or backup generators. We haven't found anyone that does the full plethora of city solutions that we provide. But from a fleet GPS standpoint, Verizon, Geotab, Synovia are maybe three of the most common that we run into.
Okay. And I think this question I want to ask of Ms. Higgs, how did we come to the decision that Samsara was a better fit for us, for our operations, for our fleets, than the others? What made them a better fit than their competitors?
It's pretty much, as he just stated, based on what we needed for the city or what we felt that we needed at the time, they were the best choice. I did do some additional checks as well with IntelliShift and NextTrack just to see if we can find something that was comparable. But a lot of them don't store their data in the cloud. They're doing SIM card or they're leasing the equipment. So there would constantly be additional costs that were incurred. Also, a lot of the platforms that they offer with Samsara, so that if we did decide to add some of those additional features, it's already included. Whereas if we go with Verizon or any of those other ones, you have to go through a third party to get some of the data stored or some of the additional platforms that they currently already offer.
Okay. So was there a bid process for this before we determine who would we go with?
We didn't do an actual bid process. I just reached out to different companies to see if they, you know, to see what they offered and to see if it fit what we were needing at that time.
Okay. Does this go along with our, with the city's bid process or obtaining services, especially in this range of cost? And I don't know, Mayor, maybe if you could answer that question. I just want to make sure we have dotted our I's and crossed our T's in reference to this.
Well, this cost is actually for a 3-year period. So roughly, well, if we round it off, say $100,000, we're talking about, what, about
$32,000 a year.
Okay. On that contract, because this is a this is over a period of 3 years. And right. I think Gail forgot to mention that we have something similar. Well, we kind of tagged on to a program that we have down at the garage.
Collective
now.
Data.
Mm-hmm. Collective data. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so we were having accidents. We couldn't find where our cars were. People say they were one place, they were someplace else, and they were speeding and they're texting and just doing all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And so we did have a program that we tag teamed with this program, and it would have cost us much more if we hadn't had some other features that we've been using at the garage right now. So this is roughly like $33,000 a year, $34,000 a year.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that sounds a lot better. And one component of this I like is the texting portion of that. I think that is extremely critical in being able to determine if someone is actually texting while they're driving. So I definitely like that feature. One other question I wanted to ask is, will this reduce any human capital in operations?
In terms of what, can you explain the question?
Will we lose any jobs in reference to bringing all of this on? Reducing human capital. No. Okay. It's not going to. Okay. Cool.
Ma'am.
Okay. One last
Councilwoman Davis, I would like to go back to the texting comment that you just made.
Right.
Believe it or not, we have quite a few employees who text and drive our cars.
Yeah.
And I have been in the car with a couple of them, and they just pulled out the phone and started texting. And I was sitting right there. So it's happening. You know, they stop when I say something, but we have a lot of employees that text and just being distracted just by on the phone, making a phone call, you know, so that's a big problem with us. Our insurance is high, accidents are high. And we just have to do something to kind of curtail it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more questions?
Yes, Mayor. Councilwoman Portis-Jones.
Councilwoman Portis-Jones.
Yes. So just wanted to ask, just based on the discussion you and Councilwoman Davis were having, regarding the NCAP video, I believe it's called. Do we have, or should we be concerned with any privacy issues? If so, what's the conversation to the employees regarding, you know, capturing them? You know, they may not be driving, they may be sitting in the vehicle, yet the video is capturing any private conversations that they have. Mr. Phelps or Ortega, could you speak to that?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we are really keen on is making sure that We give you the full control of the system and what you decide to do with it. And that could change over time. So certainly that could change to be start being far more conservative and then become more aggressive or vice versa, where you start aggressive and then you start backing up and become more conservative. With that being said, just about every function that's part of the camera can be turned on and off. So audio recording is a great example that we see often with cities, in that usually the start of the conversation is we're going to turn off audio recording. And then as we have continued discussions, if we feel a need to turn it on, whether it's for an individual vehicle or for the entire fleet of vehicles, we can then have the control to be able to do so. And so, you know, and again, we're rolling out whether it's blurred faces internally or externally. You know, again, like you can decide how much privacy you want to provide, or how or what that line looks like. And usually, audio recording is one that starts out with leaving that off until you have, you know, earned the buy-in and trust of the drivers, knowing full well this is not a a stick. This is more of a carrot and a safety and a support mechanism. So that way we can make sure that the drivers are feeling the benefits of it before they feel any you know, mistrust or backlash.
So Mayor and or Ms. Higgs, have you had discussions about that issue and what's the plan of action?
Have not had a discussion about that issue. And one thing that we need to understand is that when an employee gets into a city vehicle, it's just like our computers here at work, or they have no privacy. And that's the same way when they get into a city vehicle. Now, I do understand that there may be some instances where a person does not want to be filmed, and we can talk about not, you know, turning that feature off, and we will have that conversation. Councilwoman Portis Jones, we trust our employees, but we still have quite a few of these issues with speeding, you know, not being where they're supposed to be. You know, it's a lot of things that we have to take some control over at this point. Have not had that conversation, but I think what we need to do is before we distribute the equipment to the departments, we'll have the department heads to really sit down and have a conversation and make that decision as to whether or not they want to turn the cameras off.
All right. So I appreciate that you will have that discussion. My concern is that it is clear and it is understood and that it is communicated frequently and as often as possible to the employees and that there is no abuse of this feature use of the system. And so it's incumbent upon us to ensure that we have all of those protections in place so that we have completely communicated and that the employees understand exactly what's expected.
And I do understand. And even City Hall has a vehicle and it will be placed in City Hall vehicle. And I drive that vehicle myself and others here at City Hall. So, you know, I don't have an issue with being filmed. Some other people may have an issue with being filmed, but we will have that conversation with employees when this equipment is distributed to those department heads.
Mayor, if I may add.
Ms. Portis Jones, did you have anything else?
No, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Whitmore.
Yes, ma'am. I think we already have something in the city that addresses that. We have police body cameras, and we have a process and procedures for that. And if my memory serves me correctly, if that officer turns that device off, then that department head has judgment of whatever he or she needs to do. And I think even with this, because I think what we're looking at is the overall protection of the city and city employees and the efficiency of the vehicles. So I think while they're on city time and driving city vehicles, I don't think there's a expectation of privacy. They should know that, and that should be communicated.
Before you respond, I don't think Randy Turner is on to see. Are you on, Randy? Attorney Turner. Okay. I didn't see him. I don't see his name listed in the participants, so I'm not sure if Randy's on. But I think that's something that we can have a conversation with the city attorney concerning. I think that Mr. Whitmore made a great comment when he talked about the expectation of privacy when you're in a city vehicle. But we will get further clarification from Attorney Turner. I'll have a conversation with him on tomorrow. Councilwoman Portis Jones.
I want to be clear, and I want the record to be clear. I am not implying that I'm not wanting to protect our assets or protect our city employees. My concern is regarding our communication to them, our expectation to them, and that there is no abuse of the system. I am hoping that those things are put into place so that there are no issues concerning abuse of that feature in particular.
Thank you. So noted. Are there any other comments? Okay. Is there a motion on the floor to approve the agenda item for Samsara Fleet Maintenance GPS Software and Camera System in the amount of $98,967 for a period of 3 years? Do I have a motion to approve?
Councilman Whitmore, so moved.
Motion made by Councilman Whitmore. Is there a second?
Second. Mayor Pro Tem Heath.
Seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Heath. All those in favor?
Aye.
Are any opposed? That motion carries 6-1. Thank you so much. Andrew, you and Alden, I hope to have a conversation with you before the week ends.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Madam Clerk, the next agenda item, please.
The next agenda item is number 2 from Community Development, Mr. Lester Thompson. He's asking Mayor and Council to approve the proposed T-SPLOST, the 2 project list.
Yes, good evening, Mayor and Council. As she stated, I'm asking for Mayor and Council to approve the proposed T-SPLOST 2 project list. On November 8th, 2016, Fulton County residents voted to approve a 0.75-cent sales tax for transportation purposes, also known as T-SPLOST. The funding was to be generated from within Fulton County, outside the city limits of Atlanta. The sales tax started on April 1st, 2017, and is scheduled to end on March 30th, 2022, unless voters approve a 5-year extension. In order to do so, a T-SPLOST referendum will be needed to be approved on the November 21st ballot. In order to prepare for the referendum, Fulton County is asking all jurisdictions to approve a project list by June 15th, 2021. The list will be included in the intergovernmental agreement between all jurisdictions as Exhibit A. The City of Fairbanks proposed project list was provided to Mayor and Council on June 1st, 2021. Haven't received any comments thus far. At this time, I'm asking, are there any comments or questions on the proposed list? Hearing none, staff recommends Mayor and Council approve the proposed T-SPLOST 2 project list.
Council members, hearing no comments, is there a motion on the floor to approve the project list submitted by Mr. Lester Thompson for the T-Squash referendum November 2021 ballot?
So move, Councilman Smallwood.
Motion has been made by Councilman Smallwood. Is there a second?
Second, Councilman Wood.
Oh, sounds like I heard Councilman Palin.
Yeah, well, I'm going to jump in sometime.
Okay. The second has been made by Councilman Palin. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries 6-0. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Madam Clerk?
Thanks. Number three item is also from Mr. Lester Thompson from Community Development, asking Mayor and Council to approve the task order number 7 with Atlas Technical Consultants to conduct a pavement evaluation.
Yes, this one is to approve task order 6 with Atlas Technical Consultants to conduct a pavement evaluation on all roads maintained by the City of Fairburn. The City of Fairburn citywide roadway maintenance resurfacing efforts have been driven by the results of a pavement evaluation that was conducted back in 2012. However, since a lot of the work that was done that was recommended in that evaluation has been completed, and we're considering pursuing another round of T-Splos, having another pavement evaluation done will help guide our future roadway maintenance and resurfacing efforts. The budget impact of this task order will be $14,250. As such, staff is recommending approval of task order 7 with Atlas Technical Consultants to conduct a pavement evaluation. Any questions?
Mayor, I have one.
Yes, sir.
Mayor Pro Tem Heath.
Yes, ma'am. My question is that I noticed some of the documentation was dated like July 26, 2019. Are they going to continue to do what they say they were going to do at that time, according to this paperwork? Or is that going to have to be renegotiated due to the fact that the July 26, 2019 date was on the original agreement?
Yeah, that was actually the notice of award date. The contract with Atlas doesn't end until July 22nd, 2022.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thanks. I thought I saw Councilman Palin. Any other questions? Councilman Palin?
No.
Okay. Hearing none, is there a motion on the floor to approve the task order for $14,250?
So moved, Councilwoman Davis.
Motion made by Councilwoman Linda J. Davis. Is there a second?
Second. Mayor Pro Tem Heath.
Seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Heath. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries 6-0. Madam Clerk, item number 3, please.
Item number 4 is also from Mr. Lester Thompson from Community Development, asking Mayor and Council to approve the task order number 16 with Pond and Company for professional engineering and landscape architectural services.
Yes, Chairman entered into a master services agreement with Pond and Company on July 22nd, 2019 for on-call professional engineering and landscape architectural services. The agreement with Pond was approved with the understanding that task orders associated with professional engineering and landscape architectural services would be issued on an as-needed basis. As such, task order 16 for said services has been submitted for review and approval. The budget impact for this task order is $25,000. The project expenditures will come out of the Public Works Administration professional account, and it is accounted for. Any questions?
Are there any questions from council? Hearing none, is there a motion on the floor to approve the task order number 16 with Pond and Company for $25,000, not to exceed $25,000?
So moved, Councilman Smallwood.
Motion made by Councilman Smallwood. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mayor Pro Tem Heath.
Mayor Pro Tem Heath, yes.
Seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Heath. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries 6-0. Item number 5.
Item number 5 is also from Community Development, Mr. Lester Thompson, asking Mayor and Council to approve an intergovernmental agreement with the City of South Fulton for the Oakley Industrial Boulevard full-depth reclamation project.
Now, the City of Fairburn requested the City of South Fulton contribute to construction funding towards Oakley Industrial Boulevard full-depth reclamation project. The intent was to coordinate roadway improvements of Oakland Industrial Boulevard from State Route 74 to State Route 92. This section of Oakland Industrial Boulevard is about 70% within the City of South Fulton and 30% within the City of Fairburn. Mm-hmm. The proposed IGA is the means by which the funding agreement between the City of Fairburn and City of South Fulton will be formalized in order to be reimbursed approximately $504,019.45 in construction funding for the proposed roadway improvements on Oakley Industrial Boulevard. The IGA must be approved. As such, staff recommends Mayor and Council approve the IGA with the City of South Fulton for the Oakley Industrial Boulevard full depth reclamation project. Any questions?
I have one question, Mayor.
Yes, sir.
When was the last time we did the full depth reclamation? Because we doing this, what, every so many years?
Not on Oakley. We actually had one approved, but it was for all the other section on Oakley. We skipped that section because we didn't get funding participation at the time of the award. So when I do go back to next city council meeting, I'm probably going to bring back a change order to capture add alternate one, which is this roadway section, which amounts to $720,000 on top of what we've already awarded. The project we awarded to C.W. Matthews is supposed to start on July 6th after the 4th of July holidays. So they'll start, I'm not exactly sure which section they're going to start on, but we're going to do from Creekwood Road to Bohannon. Then we're going to do from Bohannon to the D-cell lane at the Solstice Apartments. Then we're going to do from 92 to Fayetteville Road. And now we're going to jump back and do this section, which is in between that, which is between 74 and 92. So that's what this section is, to make it comprehensive, make sure that whole corridor has received full depth reclamation, has been fully reclaimed to accommodate truck traffic. So that's the intent of this. So we moved that other one forward because the bid opening date was approaching 90 days, and I couldn't have the contractor hold his pricing if I didn't move it forward. So the City of South Fulton did at the last minute decide to come on board. So now we're moving that forward, and hopefully with that section, with this piece, add alternate one is going to be $720,000. They're going to pay $504,000 of that. So that's going to leave us with $216,000. But before I bring that change order to council, I want to see if the South Fulton CID would help participate in that remaining $216,000. So I'm going to ask them to share that cost, roughly $108,000. So then I'll bring that back to council. So that's the plan.
Okay, thank you, sir.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
I understand now that the $504,019.45 is for the project, basically, and it's a 70-30 split. We're doing 30 and they're doing 70. But the area out there in front of the auto auction, is that in the City of Fairburn or is that South Fulton City?
That's totally within the City of Fairburn, and that's already been awarded to C.W. Matthews.
Okay, because you can't.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible.
So. The lanes there. Yeah. It's got so many ruts and everything. Okay, yeah. Well, thank you. That just clarified everything. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It's just long overdue. I put it off. I was going to do it last year, but I wanted to give the City of South Fulton time to budget for it. Yes. They didn't properly budget for it, so then they brought it back, I think, with the mid-year adjustment. And okay. So now it's been taken care of, so we're going to move forward and do that whole court. Right. Claim that whole court.
Wonderful.
That's the intent.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Great.
Thank you.
And just as a side comment, I think that the South Fulton CID will probably come in and give us some of that $200,000+, if not all of it. They have been very hospitable and taking care of the city of Fairburn. I can't speak. I mean, I can highly speak of them. And they have, even with the Howell Avenue extension, I'm not sure if any of you all have gone by to see that Howell Avenue extension. It is fantastic. And they helped us with that. So
yeah, that's wonderful.
They did. Now, just working with the city of South Fulton is another story in itself. To get this done, you know, really had to kind of do a little pushback, Lester and myself, but we got it done. And so after we brought the mayor in on it, seemed like the paperwork started moving. So Lester, you agree?
Yes, ma'am. I totally agree.
That's great. That's great.
Okay, because we get so many complaints about the condition of that road out there, and everybody thinks it's Fairburn. And so we didn't want to put up signs to say, this is Fairburn and this is South Fulton. We didn't want to do that. You know, we want to be good neighbors.
Exactly.
So is there a motion on the floor to approve?
So move, Councilwoman Linda J. Davis.
Motion made by Councilwoman Davis. Is there a second?
Second, Councilman Whitmore.
Seconded by Councilman Whitmore. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries 6-0. Thank you all so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lester. And Lester, I need you in on the executive session.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Item number 6, Madam Clerk.
Yes, this will be coming from the Finance Department. Mr. Roderick Taylor asking Mayor and Council to approve the staff recommended projects for the American Rescue Act funding.
Mr. Taylor?
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council.
Good afternoon.
I was having a little technical difficulties unmuting. Okay. The American Rescue Plan Act. The purpose is to provide Mayor and Council with a list of projects that qualify as expenditures for the American Rescue Act, which became law on March 11, 2021. The budget impact is $3.1 million. For the first time, all 19,000 municipal governments are entitled to a direct or non-competitive federal formula grant from the U.S. Treasury Department. The city of Fairburn is estimated to receive about $6.2 million from the American Rescue Act. The funding will be paid to local governments in two payments, with the first 50% arriving in June 2021 and the second 50% in May 2022. Local governments have until December 31st, 2024 to use all funding. Eligible expenditures include response to the public health emergency with respect to coronavirus disease, respond to workers performing essential work during the COVID-19 public health emergency, for provisions of government services to the extent of reduction in revenues, investments in water, sewer, or broadband infrastructure. So city staff has recommended several projects that fit the criteria for the American Rescue. So the recommended action is for Mayor Council to approve the recommended projects for the American Rescue Act funding.
Before I open the floor up to council members, after talking to other mayors, some of the cities are using this funding as a to supplement their shortfall. Luckily, Fairburn didn't have a shortfall during the pandemic, but other cities did. And we are blessed that we don't have to actually put any of these funds into the general fund to balance our budget. I'm asking that you actually look at the proposed project, give us your opinion as to what, if we need to reduce, and we need to add to, we need to delete. Just let us know. We just came up with this $3.1 million so that we would have something to bring before you tonight. And you will see that most of it is going to be for infrastructure and broadband. And so, but at the very end, we wanted to do something for the citizens of Fairburn. So just let us know what you would like to reduce, add to, or just delete. The floor is now open.
Mayor, this is Councilwoman Linda J. Davis. Yes. I appreciate staff getting together these projects and identifying costs and everything. But I would love to see more money going to our citizens, to the community. I know some of our citizens are hurting from this pandemic. They have been some probably misplaced job-wise. I just in small businesses as to what effect that this pandemic has had on them. So I really would like to see more than $150,000 going to our citizens and essential workers. Now, some of this funding is for our essential workers during the pandemic. And I don't know, this may not apply, but I would definitely like for us to come back with the bonuses for our employees. And this probably won't be able to take care of that. But I really would like to see more going toward our essential employees and the community and the people that are struggling in the community, you know, as a result of the pandemic.
Councilwoman Davis, there was a conversation with the mayors that we talked concerning the American Rescue Act. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that came forth in that conversation was Fulton County is receiving some of this American Rescue monies also. We did not want to duplicate, and so we're going to have to be very strategic in our initiatives for the community. Mm-hmm. For instance, let's talk about rental assistance. You know, there's so many phases and regulations that are required to approve a person. And Fulton County right now is having issues after issues because they still have all of this COVID monies that they cannot even disperse because they didn't have enough staff on site to disperse this money. And so I get a report like once every 2 weeks. I go in and pull this report on how many of our citizens applied for rental assistance or heating assistance.
Right.
And yeah. And it's not that many. And when you call up and check with Fulton County, it's because they got, you know, the person who owns the house that they're renting from has to sign a statement. They can't get that signed. The folks that's living in the house has to sign a statement. They can't get that. So it's just all these little issues. Yeah. So I do agree. And we have until, I think, Mr. Taylor, we have until 2022 to spend this first round, or we have a 2024 to spend all of it.
Mayor, it's 2024 to spend it all.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
So we're going to get this first round. We've gotten all of our paperwork in now. And so we're just waiting on them to deposit the $3.1 million into our account. And that has not hit yet. We look every day to see if it's there. And it's not there. So we check the bank in the mornings and we check it in the afternoon. And so we don't have that $3 million yet. But I do agree. We just have to have some kind of mechanism in place to receive and disperse it. And that's going to be a hard task, especially rental or utility assistance in the city, because we don't have the staff to do it.
Hmm.
So, but let's talk about it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh. The floor is open, council.
Yes, Mayor, this is Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Yes, Mayor.
So I agree with the previous discussion about trying to find more opportunities to offer direct funding to our citizens. And I would suggest that we probably work more toward the utility side of the equation, since we control utilities in the city, and I think we probably could have more impact with dispersing those funds and provide a direct impact to our citizens. So I'd love to see us do that, and would love to participate in that discussion to make that happen. And then secondly, I would also ask that regarding broadband, I'm glad to know that it is included from the educational campus down to the downtown district. So where does that end in the downtown district is one question. Are we capturing broadband for the entire district or to a certain point?
I think it goes, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's past the police station. Roderick.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken, it will go at least to the CVS. But Lester, if I'm wrong, please correct me.
We're talking about taking it all the way down to the youth center and on the back streets as well and capturing.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
Then I would also ask if we could find the dollars or reallocate the dollars in this first round for broadband at Duncan Park. Because that is a heavy used asset in our city, and that would elevate us as a city and the park specifically to the next level, having broadband access. So if we could determine the cost of that and allocate dollars the first round to do that. And then my last question would be when is the project list for the second round of funding? When is that project list due?
We haven't got through the first one yet.
Well, I'm claiming it. So.
I wish I could tell you. I wish I could tell you. And I think probably tomorrow or one day this week, we're going to have to get with Lester and the finance department and kind of fine tune some of these numbers, because we don't know how much it's going to cost us for Duncan Park broadband or how much. When you say utilities, are you looking at allocating $300,000-$400,000 for the utility program, $500,000? What are you looking at? So we need to know.
Well, I mean, if you ask me, I'll take the largest number, right? But I'm asking you to propose something that's reasonable and workable. And it should be based on the data that's available from our utility operations, from the customer base.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. I have written down your comments, and we'll be meeting on it this week. And hopefully we can get something back to you probably by the next meeting. Now, the second go round, it's going to take us a minute. We need to get through this first, okay?
Uh-huh. Okay, so I'm just thinking about what projects might be included, or if there's something that requires more money in this one, you know, maybe we can find the additional funds in the second round.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Any other comments or questions?
Councilman Smallwood, I just had a clarifying question as it relates to the water and sewer projects that were chosen on here. Are these the projects? I don't know, you know, so this is for our departments. But were they targeted because they'll help in some of the issues we kind of frequently have with the pipes bursting, the breaks and all of that, where we have the water interruptions and stuff. So what these are projects targeted to help in all of that?
Yeah, Councilman Smallwood, Fairbairn has a failing infrastructure with pipes. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, and it's not just Fairbairn, it's a lot of these older cities. Union City having the same problem, East Point, College Park, Douglasville, they're all having these problems with these pipes. They were put in the ground years and years ago. And so now they've started breaking and cracking and they're causing issues. So I think that the finance department and utility department was trying to kind of get a head start on a lot of the issues in the city with the infrastructure with our pipes. And so that's why you're seeing a lot of the gravity sewer, the lift station, mm-hmm. and all of that on this listing.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
And one thing that we really do need to have, everybody's talking about, you know what just happened with the Colonial Pipeline and the gas. Mm-hmm. I ended up paying $3.99 for ultra premium gas, which just about killed me. Mm-hmm. But no, I paid $4.99 when it was a gas scare. And mm-hmm. so we got to do something with ransomware. That is something that we're going to have to do. We don't want anyone to be able to come in and take over our system here. And so that's why you see $175,000 down there for that. And yes, I think that's needed.
Yeah, that's needed, definitely.
Mayor, and then one other suggestion that I have, if not this round, but next round. For years, we've talked about upgrading the meters, you know, the electrical meters, and being able to read them remotely via software to bring that software into the 21st century so that we don't continue to have issues with the discrepancy in the utility bills. And so if there's an opportunity for us to look at that, I'd like that to be considered as well.
Okay, let me have a conversation with Mr. Martin, because I know that we started with the new system that we have in place. And I tell you, it has been a headache. It has really been a headache. And yeah. Just trying to migrate from an old system to a new system, you know, they just ran into so many problems. But I will say that the people, the citizens here in the city have been very cooperative, and they've been very understanding as to what's going on. So if we get any complaints, we go right in and we correct those and send them out. But we don't really want to send out any bills that are erroneous. You know, people need to know what they're paying for and they're getting a correct bill. And that has not been the case in some of our billings. This last billing that went out, what we did was we had over, I think, about 1,600 or 1,700 bills that that we pulled to make sure that they were correct. And they were went through and looked at the numbers on there to make sure that those numbers were in line, because the new system was adding numbers to the bills. And so we had about 14 to 1600 bills that we did in less than a day by hand to make sure that people got their correct bills. So it's been a headache. It has been a big headache just trying to get through this, but hopefully we will. But I'll have a conversation with Mr. Martin on tomorrow. Because,
and including that would be because we had talked about replacing or updating all of the meters to the extent that that's still needed to include that in
the second round.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Okay, Council, do you have any other suggestions for the project list for the American Rescue funding for the first round? Okay, we're going to try to come back with you on the 28th with another listing. Well, we'll send something out to you before then and get your opinions on it, suggestions, see where we need to move some more numbers around. And so we'll come back on the 28th and we'll ask at that time with the listing that we sent out to you, if you would give us your okay on it.
Sounds good.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. The last item is item number 7, Madam Clerk.
Yes, number 7 comes from Mr. Roderick Taylor in the Finance Department, asking Mayor and Council to approve the 6-month update for fiscal year 2020-2021. Mr. Taylor?
You may be having another problem.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council.
Good afternoon.
This is the 6-month update for the fiscal year 2020-21, which covers the period October 1, 2020 through September 30th, 2021. So if you look at the items that we turned in for your review, we'll start off with the general fund. So the first column is the amended budget for 2020, and that the total revenues budgeted was $16,348,385. Being that we have a zero base budget, the revenues must equal the expenditures. So that total budget was $17,586,315 for revenues, and expenditures were the same. If you look at the next column, that is the actuals for 2020. The revenues came in at $18,408,000, which the revenues exceeded expenditures by $3.7 million. So we had a real good year for the fiscal year ended September 30th, 2020. And even though we were in a coronavirus environment, the city of Fairburn was still able to do very well in terms of revenues exceeding expenditures. In the next column, you will see the budget 2021. And the revenues were $14,324,750. And then we have the expenditures for the general fund. So our total budget for revenues and expenditures for the general fund is $17,811,065. The next column says budget second quarter 50%. So technically, that column, it just takes 50% of the budgeted revenue and expenditures, and it just lists it out. And the next column is the actuals. So at the 6-month period, these were the actual numbers. So our total revenues was at $13,649,000, and our expenditures were $8,063,780, which would give an excess of 5.5. So then the next column deals with your actual versus your budget. So you would take that actual number and you're just subtracting it based on the 50% budget, and it gives you those figures. And then the final column is that we're projecting out where we plan to end by the end of the fiscal year, which is 9/30/2021. These are the projections for expenditure, for revenues and expenditures. So we're anticipating that we will be at least 1.629606 with revenues exceeding, and that's a relatively conservative approach to the general fund. Our next slide deals with the electric fund. So the budget 2020 for electric was 8.877323. And of course, the then there's a $30,000 interest, which makes the budget would be $8,907,323. And based on a zero-based budget, the expenditures must equal that as well. But then the next column, we deal with the actual 2020. So now we're getting into how we performed for 9/30/2020. So our revenues exceeded expenditures by $1,082,432, which is good, because you're still it's an enterprise fund and you're in a pandemic year, and we're able to have revenues exceed our expenditures by $1 million. For budget 2021, which is our current budget, it is $8,419,955. Revenues as well as expenditures based on a zero-based budget. So your revenues always should equal your expenditures. So when we take the next column deals with the 50% mark. So if you take 50% of your budgeted revenues and expenditures, it'll give you those figures. So for actuals, we were at 4.5 million at the 6-month mark for the electric fund, and our expenditures were at 3.7. And then there were a capital purchase. So technically, the revenues exceeded expenditures by $700,706,298. So then the next to the last column, our actual versus budget, we just subtracting the actual column minus the 50% budgeted mark. And so then finally our projection, we come up with our projections. Revenues is going to be about $9 million, expenditures around $8.8 million, and roughly we're looking at a change in net assets at $666,155. So that's our projection for the electric fund. And next we'll move to the water and sewer fund. The budget for the 2020 budget was $8,049,904. Revenues equal expenditures based on the zero base philosophy. If we look at our actuals, revenues came in around, for operating revenue, came in around $7.5 million. Total operating expenditures was around $5.1 million. And then there were income of $24,675 and expenses of $1.4 million. So revenues exceeded expenditures by $1.3 million for the water and sewer fund. And then we'll move to the current budget. The current budget revenues budgeted and expenditures 8.511151. Zero-based budget philosophy. Then at the 50% mark, 50% of the 7.2 would be the 3.6, and 50% of the operating expenditures of 4.4 would put us at 2.2. And so it just takes 50% of all your revenues and your expenditures. And then the next column deals with the actuals. So at that point, at the six-month mark, the operating revenue was at 4.1. Total operating expenditures were at 1.7. And then your actual versus your budget, nothing but your actual minus your budgeted numbers. And then you'll end up with you project your 2020 numbers. And the revenues is at 8.4, expenditures at 4.2, and then you have some non-operating expenditures as well. And we're projecting the change in net assets to be about 1.7 by 9/30/2021. The next fund we're dealing with would be the Stormwater Fund. And basically what we're trying to do today is give you a highlight of all the major funds, including the general fund. So for the Stormwater Fund, the 2020 budget for revenue and expenditures was $932,800. Actual revenue and expenditures, total operating revenue was $837,629. Total operating expenses was a $309,145. So revenue exceeded expenditures by $528,485. And by the way, these actual numbers for 2020 are audited numbers. So for budget 2021, the total budget for revenue and expenditures was $895,334. 50% of the revenue would give us $447,667. Total operating expenditures would be $212,367. Our actual numbers at the 6 month mark was $435,546, and our operating expenditures were around $51,445. Which at that juncture gave us excess revenues of $384,000. So your actual versus your budget, which is nothing but you're subtracting your actual numbers minus the budget. In this case, the budget was slightly higher than the actual numbers, where the actual numbers landed. And you can notate that based on having a negative number there. So we're projecting out for revenue to be around $871,442. Total operating expenditures would be around $357,179, with some capital purchases of about $235,000. And we're projecting to be at least $278,963 revenues exceeding expenditure. The next area or fund is the sanitation fund. For the budget year 2020, the budget was $817,656. And of course, the revenues and expenses were the same. For the actual total operating revenue for the sanitation fund was $842,845, and expenditures were $741,752. There was a transfer out, so revenues exceeded expenditures by $51,094. And for the budget year 2021, The total budget for revenue and expenditures is $800,156. For the second quarter, 50% of the revenue for 2021 would be $400,078. Expenditures would be approximately $358,828. Actuals, we were at $431,942 for revenue, operating revenue, and the expenditures were at $432,130. So the expenditures slightly higher than the revenues for the sanitation fund. And then we had the actual versus the budget. And the last column is that we're projecting where we plan to end for 9/30/2021. Revenue should be around $864,234, and we're expecting expenditures to be around $863,916, and we should be to the good. Revenues will exceed expenditures by $318,000. Last but not least, in regards to the major funds, is the educational complex. For 2020, the budget was $1,372,988. As well as the revenue and expenditures were $1,372,988. The actuals for 2020, the revenues exceeded expenditures by $186,643. Our budget for the 2021 is $1,515,523. So at the 50% mark, the revenues were at $282,150. Total operating expenditure was around $212,417. When we get to the actuals were $243,944, and the total operating expenditure were around $28,339. Of course, you know, as the year goes on, we'll definitely have more expenses than that. Our actual versus the budgeted, if you look, the revenues were a little bit lower than anticipated at the 50% mark. And also on the expenditures as well. So our projection for the 2021 for total operating revenues is $487,888. And total operating expenditure should be around $399,833. And then there should be some interest income. And then there's interest expense and physical charges with deals with the debt service. So we're anticipating that there may be a slightly loss in terms of revenues lower than expenditures for the educational complex. Just going to depend on how our expenses check out. So if the expenses are lower, then, you know, of course, the revenues will be a little bit higher. Then there's a statement of revenue expenditures. I wanted to share that one with you, and that was based on the audit. And it kind of breaks down what the total revenues were for the general fund of $18,408,246. And total expenditures were $14,305,805, and then you had some transfer ins and transfer outs. Of course, transfer ins contribute to revenue as well as the proceeds from disposal of capital assets. And then the transfer out is considered an expense. So you end up being at $3.7 million, which is very good in a pandemic year. And then there was one more other point that I wanted to share with Mayor and Council. It's the notes to the financial statements, and it's particularly item B, excess expenditures over appropriations. Expenditures may not legally exceed budgeted appropriations at the department level. For the fiscal year ended September 30th, 2020, no departments or funds had excesses of actual expenditures over appropriations. And that is real good. So that means that based on your leadership, our departments, we followed the budget and we stuck to the budget. I will entertain any questions at this time.
Before we open the floor up for questions, Mr. Taylor, I didn't hear you share with council CD that we're going to pay off. Did you discuss that? Did you mention that?
I did not, but I can do that. We will be paying off debt service in the educational complex fund next month on 7/1/2021. It's the debt service that we have with Bank of New York Mellon. We will be paying that off. So the city will be saving overall probably $1 million in debt service once we pay that off next month in July.
Okay. All right. Council members.
And also, we will be paying off an additional debt service on the GO bond side in the month of December on 12/1/2021. We'll be paying that debt off as well.
And how much will we save there?
We'll be saving just a little bit less than $1 million.
Okay.
About $960,000.
Okay. So that's about $2 million to the good.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Council, the floor is open. Mr. Roderick is available for any questions or comments.
Yes, Mayor. Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Taylor, thank you so much for the detailed information regarding our current fiscal year. That was very informative. However, being able to understand the makeup of the numbers, with personnel being the largest percentage of our expenditures, are all of the budgeted positions filled? And if not, how many are unfilled, or what is in process that will impact the budget for this fiscal year?
Okay, so your question was, you wanted to know, was all budgeted positions filled?
That's correct.
Okay. I would say no in certain areas, because I know that there are some openings in the police and the fire departments, which happens to be two of the largest departments in the general fund.
So what do you anticipate that impact will be by the budget impact be for this fiscal year?
Well, based on, I'm thinking that based on the numbers that the general fund will be in a positive note by the end of the year, which is 9/30/21. And I'm anticipating with a conservative estimate that it will be at least 1.6 million revenue exceeding expenditures.
And that's with all positions filled?
Yes, because if all positions were budgeted, then that's where we should land.
Okay, so would you provide us with that information, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, let me make sure I'm clear, Councilman Portis Jones. I'm going to make sure I provide you with all the budget positions, and you want to know the ones that haven't been filled as well, right?
That is correct, by department, yes. Mm-hmm.
Council members, do you have any other questions or comments?
Mayor, this is Councilwoman Linda J. Davis.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to ask Mr. Taylor, what was the difference in, we received reports last council meeting, and actually this was on the agenda, and we, you know, postponed it until this council meeting. And there were a lot of changes from that report to this report, and I wanted to know why.
Okay. Well, what happened with that was I was working with several spreadsheets, and when I compiled the information, and you know, you had different iterations, and the wrong iteration got caught up in the dynamics of being presented for the agenda item. And once I recognized it, I suggested to the mayor that I needed to pull that information because it wasn't what I needed to be. I had picked up the wrong information. So, you know, when you're working on these type of projects, you have several different iterations of it. When you first start, then you update, and, you know, my numbers, I got my spreadsheets confused.
Okay.
So, but we got it corrected, and we tried to do a thorough job making sure that all numbers matched up and tied up and made sense.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Taylor? Okay. That was the last item on the regular agenda. We have an executive session tonight for real estate. And with that being said, may I have a motion to go into executive session.
So move, Councilwoman Linda J. Davis.
Motion made by Councilwoman Davis. Is there a second?
Second, Councilman Smallwood.
Seconded by Councilman Smallwood. We will now go into executive session, and we will return to the meeting as soon as the session is over. Councilman Smallwood, I also see Councilwoman Davis, Councilwoman Portis Jones, Councilman Whitmore, Mayor Pro Tem Heath, Councilman Palin. So it looks like everybody's back.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Council comments. Mayor Pro Tem Heath.
Well, I just would like to say that the funeral that we went to for Debbie Mullis went very well, and it was really amazing the number of people that showed up that she had had a part in their life at one time or another, doing good things for them, and everything else seems to be doing well. The city seems to be doing great after the information we got with our budgetary stuff. It seems as though we are finally getting to a point that we do not have any real deficit problems or anything of that nature. But other than that, thank y'all. Have a good night.
Thank you. Councilman Whitmore.
No comments, Mayor.
Okay. Councilman Smallwood?
As always, I love each and every one of you all. It was a pleasure tonight, and that's it for me.
Oh, Councilwoman Davis?
No comments, Mayor. Long night.
Okay. Councilman Pat Palin?
Most assuredly, no comments.
Okay. Last but certainly not least is Councilwoman Hattie Portis Jones.
Well, thank you, Mayor. I'm sure you anticipated what I wanted to say, that The past 2 months have been a very, very difficult time for me. Sadly, ended with the loss of my husband. But I just want to take this opportunity to thank each of you for your calls, your text messages, your cards, your presence, and thank you for the plant basket, which was just fabulous. Somebody knows that I like plants. Especially thank the fire department and the police department for their presence, for their assistance, and for their guidance. My family was most appreciative, Bob's family, most appreciative, and Bob would have loved it. So thank you. Thank you so much for that. As the mayor know, each day it is a challenge, but it, you know, I know it will get easier with time. But in the meantime, you know, I'm struggling, trying to get through. But thank you so much for the support. I really appreciate it, and thank you to all the Fairburn Knights who did the same thing, called, text, sent cards. I appreciated the love and caring that was shown. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman Hattie Portis Jones. And you know that I can relate after losing my daughter in January. So there's not a day go by that you don't think about them. And but it gets better with time. And so with that being said, our hearts and prayers are, and let me just say with the both of us, because it's just been a few months for me and not even a month for you. So let's keep each other in prayer and and just hope that each day we get stronger. With that being said, I would like to entertain a motion to adjourn, please.
So move, Councilwoman Davis.
Motion made by Councilwoman Davis.
Yeah, there Councilwoman Smallwood.
The has been seconded by Councilman Smallwood. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Are there any opposing? That motion carries. It is now 9:35 and we stand adjourned. Have a good evening, you all, and have a great week.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.